All right, gang, we're going to get underway here. Give you an official welcome. This is our fourth year, our fourth program, our 10-week program. Very excited. Generally, when we have a welcome, just like the G13, I just like to start off by saying, welcome to the main event. And we are, it's not too early to start talking and thinking about the G13, since most everybody on this call is Jersey Mike's related. And I will say that the call is getting recorded, so if you're going to listen later on and you hear this, we do have a few people here in the office that are involved. We have a very diverse group. We have franchisees. We have managers. We have the corporate store division field team. I have a couple of drug addicts. And since I really can't hear you laughing, that's okay, because maybe I do, and maybe we do. But I'm pretty jazzed up. Remember, this is designed like a college course. It's just a 30-minute lesson, really, and then that homework, or what we're going to maybe call a challenge. Either way, you're going to have to put in a little bit more effort. And just thinking about everybody this morning on who's going to be on this call during my morning run, and feel compelled to talk about my morning run because it's today's a glorious day. And that's usually what I tell myself when I wake up in the morning. And this morning, it really was glorious. And, you know, what kind of a life is it designed here? Living on the beach, you can get up, you can run on the beach. It was an amazing sunrise this morning. And there are big cliffs from the waves. I'm heading up into the inlet, watching the fishing boats come in. And the salt air is amazing. The seagulls are coming up. Just a great setting. And I'm just smiling, very joyful. Not completely joyful, because the sand was very, very soft, and so there's a little, it's hard work. I'm sweating like sweat on sweat, and ironically, it's funny because I'm looking at my Garmin, and already I've accomplished 69 steps. So I know a lot of you have these little apps and such, but 69 steps is very unusual for a small run. It's only going to be a 3-mile run, but it was equivalent to climbing 69 steps because of the sand. I'm telling you this because there's going to be a lot of crazy stories as we go on. The thing is that when we talk about the kind of life we design, I've designed this life, and it's a life I love. I'm wondering how many of us on the call are living out to the max. Are you living really the life you've designed? And if you're not, this next 10 weeks, I think we're going to get you closer to that. And you know, after, it's funny because when I took my cool plunge afterwards, it wasn't an amazing cool plunge because it's really not that cool yet. The water is still kind of nice. It's around my 60s. But I almost struggled getting back in because the waves were pretty big. And, you know, sometimes you kind of laugh. But as I'm struggling, I'm thinking of the struggles that we have. The metaphor of most of everybody on this call have felt success, have seen success, but have you helped someone else be successful? Most people on this call will finish this program, but several will not. Several are going to fall out. And it is amazing to see when we have this intent. And that's okay, because not everybody's really ready for it. And what we're going to say is, look, if you're ready, you're going to gain out, you know, what you put in, what you're going to get out of it. But I know some of you, I hope nobody's really married to mediocrity, as we say. You know, I remember in my past coaching, I'd always love calling people out and say, hey, if you want to be average, that's fine with me. And that usually would piss them off because, you know, they don't want to be average. Nobody on this call wants to be average. And I think I pretty much understand where we want to be. So there will be a little bit of a struggle, but there's going to be a whole lot of transformation. And that's a word that if you're taking notes, you put down. And we are going to start talking about how we're going to be changing your mind, which will start today, and how we're also going to change your body and your spirit. And if you make it through this 10 weeks, I'm going to guarantee you that your life and your work, the way you look at it, you're going to look at it much differently. And again, research tells us that 5% are living the lives they dreamed of. And when you start looking at the research, and I have the time to do so, it's crazy to see that 70% of our workforce is still unhappy. 70% of us on this call, I don't happy, but we have a lot of unhappy people around us. And so, like I said, I know everybody on this call has a profound capacity for being a great leader. I truly believe this in my heart. And I think it's a certain degree of divine providence that we all have here. We all have the Jersey Mike's calling, so to speak. And maybe you're an owner, maybe you're a multi-unit owner. Maybe you're a manager, and that's where you want to be. And maybe you're an ops guy, an ops director. But I'm going to tell you, we can't really be the best, and we really can't be influencers unless we really understand mastery of self. And that's part of what our course is going to go to, is the mastery of ourselves. But the first quote I want to give you, and we're going to have a quote of the week every week, and the first quote is this.
Javier.
Jenna.
Tom Hayes.
To lead is to inspire others by the way you live. To lead is to inspire others by the way you live. You've heard this a dozen different ways. This quote, I dare you to memorize it. We're going to talk about that in a minute when we talk about the mind. I usually refer to tattooing it on your brain. Memorization is really a big part of our routinization. But really, it's the example. We're going to be talking a lot about example. And as we get started here, you know, I sent out the mentor sheet and one more review of really what a mentor is, because I want to understand that the purpose, again, for this whole program is that you become a teaching mentor, and that eventually, not tomorrow, not after this course, but maybe soon thereafter, you understand what it is to be a mentor to somebody else. And remember, the word mentor means a trusted advisor, a friend, a teacher, a wise person. And I gave you some of those examples like Socrates and Beethoven and Freud and Jung. But really, it's just a person that invests time in somebody, energy, and really interested in the growth of another person. And that's my purpose, is to help everybody around me grow, or the other word we talk about is elevate. And I know it's a word you've heard before. It's a word we love talking about on our leadership team. How do we elevate others? So before we get started, I want to take a peek at our answers. I'm going to take a good 10 minutes looking at this, because those questions are designed really to give me an insight into your personality. And I can tell you, we could end the program right now and I would know a lot about all of us. And that's part of what a mentorship is. It's a relationship, and it's not meaningful unless it's really honest, and we did get a lot of honest feedback. So even the first question, kind of a trick question, but who would you be if you wanted to be somebody else? And for the most part, I hooked most of us into that, and we did get some good ones. You know, there's always the pro athletes, because look at the lifestyle they live. And who wouldn't want to be a pro athlete? I can tell you, I'll have some insight for you as a former pro athlete. Warren Buffett's one of my favorites. Love that guy. So Warren Buffett, you know, we saw guys like The Rock. There were a few females in there, not many, but probably my favorite was Trump. And and why not? I mean, who has more power than the president? Who has more? So, you know, a lot of insight was in this first question, but far and away, the most answers were, look, I wouldn't want to be anybody else. And that's what I want you to start thinking about. This is when we start talking about an inward life, starting to think inwardly. How I'm going to get a better version of myself. So we had a lot of fun insight on that, some of which will come out during the course. Question number two, who's influencers? And, you know, we did get the occasional coach and teacher, but probably 90% were very raw and compassionate and loving descriptions of our parents. And I'm sorry if you didn't have that, if you're on this call, because it's difficult to get through life without that kind of influence. And not everybody has that. And you're going to hear about the 10 percenters in this program. 10% of us never had that shot. And so how can we be happy if we never were raised happy? And I know several on this call didn't have that, and yet you overcame. And so that is, again, some amazing feelings that came out, but far and away, I think most of us had the luck of the draw and our destiny was set pretty well because we had great parents, and we learned from those parents. More on that will come. But number three is the one that's hidden in there. And what would you change? What would you change about yourself? And so we saw all kinds of, across the board, like we normally do. Okay. Okay, we need to check those phones and make sure we're muted. So what we have is that we saw people want to be more proactive. We had people talk about money, how they wish they did that a little bit better, be more organized. We saw a lot on the health, and we all know health is wealth. We saw the diet, procrastination, many of those. And my feeling is just when that comes out, you know, I think procrastination is just an act of self-hatred because we've seen enough of it in our, you know, if you're on a team and you keep procrastinating, this is an issue. And so, yeah, this is something we do need to change, and we will change. And probably the one that came up the most was the word discipline. And that is a great word. Use that word a couple times in my book, but I also refer to an old theologian, German theologian, Dietrich Bonhoeffer, who once said that you cannot learn to be free without discipline. It doesn't even seem to go together. But if you really want to live an elevated, free life that you're in control of, you've got to understand discipline. And we will have many examples about that in the 10 weeks. Love the food. Who doesn't want to talk about food? Haven't used that question in quite a while. A lot of pasta in there, a lot of ethnic food. You know, some of the words I couldn't even pronounce that were thrown in there. But we can't forget, you know, there was the pizza, the ribs, a lot of steak. A lot of steak in there. That's nice. No vegetarians in this group, I don't think. but really, the underlying common denominator on 90% was it was again related to the family, and they had emotional ties, and that's why Jersey Mike's has such an amazing hold on the brand right now. We call it craveability, but the memories that come with food are really important in our lives, and it makes, you know, it's just that apple pie that grandma cooked, mom's meatballs, always at the table, how we ate, you know, those are the things that matter, and those really came out. So we're going to wrap this little survey up with question number five, and it's a hard question. Seems like a silly question. Your top three movies. We are a society, and our DNA is ingrained in watching movies, and that's okay. But the movies, come on now. Some of these movies. I mean, you had The Godfather in there. You know, you had some of the. You had The Miracle, The Field of Dreams. You had The Notebook, of course. I already gave an A to the course. Remember, this course doesn't have grades, but I'm giving an A to whoever said Wizard of Oz, since I lived in Kansas for a while. My Cousin Vinny, Elf. Anything Clint Eastwood was a kind of funny one. But the three top movies that were far and away were three of my favorites, and I think somebody might even had all three. But Shawshank Redemption. And I even use that in a video on my website that talks about habits. Forrest Gump, come on. That movie, that's like three movies in one. I can't forget Pulp Fiction, because somebody did put that one in there, and that's up there, yes. Saving Private Ryan was the other one. But the point is, you know, somebody put in there, you know, I didn't match those movies with this person. It didn't fit. And at the end he said, because I just go to let my mind go. And I really like that, because that is, it didn't matter what the movie was, just going to just not think and just enjoy the comedy maybe it was or the silly movie. And I see that valuable. So enough about that, but really does give me some pretty good insight on how we're going to start this program. So I want to start off by talking about the top three habits of the most highly successful people in the world. And I've been studying people for a long time, and this is research that has been over time. You can do the research yourself. I'm just going to do it for you. But here's the top three if you want to be a successful person in this life. And we're not even talking about elevating your life yet. But you take a look at the first thing you've got to do, and I'm here to tell you, all these people get up early. There's even a book on it. There's several books on it. I just read another book, 5 a.m. Club. You know, it doesn't really matter, but they get up early. There's a club I'm in. It's called the BillionaireBrainTraining.com Club. All right, you got that one? I'm not a billionaire, but maybe I will be. Who knows? But the brain training part, most of these guys are involved in this, and pretty much what they're doing is they're telling you they're getting up early. And, you know, it's nothing new. I mean, if you go back to Aristotle, who I like to quote and on so many different levels, one of the things he said is it's well to be up before daybreak, for such habits contribute to health, wealth, and wisdom. And a couple centuries later, Mr. Ben Franklin stole that one from him. You probably heard about his. Early to bed, early to rise makes healthy, wealthy, wise, right? We know these things, but that's part of routinization. We have to get up early, and we'll be talking about that as we go through. Second thing is we have to read. I talk about the Billionaire Club. You know, Warren Buffett's one of the guys. I love that guy. He reads 500 pages a day. He tells you unequivocally, I'm going to read 500 pages a day. And when you ask him why that is, and he says, that's because my knowledge builds up like compound interest. He's one of those finance guys, but he'll also tell you that he doesn't really care that much about money. In fact, he'll tell you that he'd rather lose money than lose time. And underneath this 10 weeks, you're going to hear about the value of time. But reading is something that's dear to my heart. I think some of us have a problem with it, so we're going to have to deal with that. But that's how we gain knowledge. It might have to be you have to listen to, you know, some of us can't read that well or that much. Audio books, whatever, however you can get that information. But one of my favorite quotes is from Cicero. A room without books is like a body without a soul. And so I usually carry books wherever I'm at, and people think I'm weird. But that's okay. But all this leads to self-knowledge. And probably, you know, most of these guys, and there is one more I want to talk about, most of these guys will talk about, though, when you're reading, you're investing in your own education, self-education. Mostly all these billionaires are self-educated. And I can tell you another one that is, and his name is Peter Cancro. And by the way, you know he didn't go to college. But when we're investing in our own self and our own education, our own growth, as Warren Buffett would say, that's like compound interest. So if you're not doing a course like this, and by the way, this is a free course. I'm trying to get on a course right now, and I can't get on anything less than $5,000. And that's okay. But really, it's where you're at, how much you're willing to learn, how much you want to learn. And then the third thing that all these guys and gals have in common is that they give, the word give. So we're going to start this program built on three words. Early, read, and give. And you know our Jersey Mike's mission statement, giving, making a difference in somebody's life. The Giving Project, Bill Gates, if you don't know about that, it's amazing. These guys have affected not billions of dollars, billions of people, eradicated smallpox. What they're doing in the world is amazing. You know, the Pope has a book on the joy of giving. The more we give, the more we receive. You heard all this. And we lost an icon yesterday. Saw on the news, actually saw this man speak one time, T-Bone Pickens. T-Bone Pickens was an oil magnate out Midwest. He was at Oklahoma State when I was coaching in the Midwest. He was probably their biggest funder. The alumni built a lot of stuff out there. But what I wanted to say about him was he said he had two joys in life, and that was making money, and number two was giving it away. And you got to love that. I know somebody else like that that you might have heard of. Oh, yeah, name is Peter Cancro. So I'm going to talk about the brain here for a bit. I think most people I work with are eager to spend and expand their knowledge, mind, body, and soul. We talk about inner peace is a word we're going to talk about. But if we really want to attain self-mastery, become more creative, have more energy, we have got to learn discipline and self-mastery. And how do we do great things if we can't feel great in all three of these areas? We'll be talking about all three areas. But first, we're going to start right now at the brain. So I usually carry around this Harvard Business Review magazine on research on neuroplasticity and neuroscience. And sometimes I'm going to use a few big words. I can't spell all of them. But that's a word you're going to see more and more of in the last few years, neuroplasticity, how the brain expands, how the brain learns, and how the brain continues to learn. We're saying the brain was built for expansion. And it continues to grow if we feed it, just like anything else, if we train it, just like the body. But I don't think in my walk of life we don't see this happening much. What we're seeing more and more, I think, are people that are tethered to the TV, where their brains are getting sucked out of their minds, and we're getting atrophy in the brain like any other part of the body. And what we're saying is we need more relentless practice, daily habits that are excellent, constant drilling, and we say, small movements, staggering results. We have to learn how to quiet the brain. I talk about this a lot, because we've learned a lot. Cortisol decreases. Cortisol is going to kill us all. It's the stress hormone. We've heard about this. You probably heard of dopamine. When I quiet the brain, dopamine rises. Serotonin rises. Serotonin reuptake inhibitors, you probably know what that is. But we have to exercise our brains to make any new habit. Who's exercising their brain? Well, we start with reading, but there's all kinds of ways we can do this. We even know now that guys my age, old guys, can regenerate brain cells, neurogenesis. And I think that works. And if you want to think faster, process your thoughts faster, improve your attention, you're in the right class. And part of my background, most of you know, spent some time in a monastery, studied religion, have a minor in theology, but there's all kinds of Eastern religions, the Taoism, the Buddha. There's all equated in their minds with water. And I always love that because as a water guy, ocean swimmer, they talk about, you can't really navigate your life when you have turbulent water. And as an ocean swimmer, we swim in when it's rough, you can't see anything. You're getting tossed around. You don't know where you're going. You're confused. But we have this concept known as the calm water. And we're going to talk a little bit about that. Calm water, I'm going to read a definition and a word you've probably never heard before that I was looking back in my memories of Taekwondo and Jōriki. Jōriki is a word we're going to define here in a second. But when I'm in a calm water, when I'm swimming in the ocean and it's nice and calm, it's relaxing. I can see everything, usually things I don't want to see. But I can have a direct path. And it's amazing when we talk about calming the mind. How can we do this? Because after we get up in the morning, the mind starts to race. And I can tell you from a lifetime of doing this and being in the 5 a.m. club, I spent 20 years in the fitness business getting up at 4:45, but it wasn't in a good way. And tomorrow we're going to talk about seven different habits, not cubbies, but seven different habits on the next call of how we're going to do this. I started looking at some science, and it says that one of the books I was looking at says we have 60,000 thoughts a day. 60,000 thoughts a day. And that'll get you confused. That'll get you in a chaotic water. But we're overloaded, most of us. We're stressed out. We talk about unbalance. When we're unbalanced, we know what happens. Then our physicality starts to get in trouble. Then I'm going to get an ulcer. Then I'm going to get reflux. Some people in here have diabetes, high blood pressure. All of a sudden, we're whacked out. And we mentioned this somewhat on our last mentorship series, the last call, the seven habits, the seventh habit of balanced life, sharpen the saw. And how can we get there? And really what we say, we need an interchange. The Greeks called this a metanoia. Metanoia was this interchange. Our spirit has to change. And that's going to help change our brains, our bodies, and our minds. And when I think of this, I think of Peter. Because when I talk to Peter, he has this this concept of Jōriki. And I think back when I was doing a little research, it was like remembering an old girlfriend, I think, when I was taking Taekwondo. If anybody knows Taekwondo, and I was very fortunate to take Taekwondo from a Korean master. But this concept, I'm going to read this to you because it reminds me of Peter so much. But this concept of Joe Rickey is actually Peter's concentrated mind. And so here's the quote. One who has developed Jericho no longer is a slave to his passions, neither is he at the mercy of his environment. Always in command of himself and circumstances of his life, he's able to move with perfect freedom. The cultivation of certain supernormal powers is also possible by Jericho, as in the state in which the mind becomes clear and still, like water. That's Japanese, but there's a concept in Chinese, in Taoism, as we said. But I see Peter, I see this. And I think when we start talking about how we get focused on a vision, we're going to start off our next call talking about Peter's vision and how he has shaped his life by that vision. So mind management we're talking about is actually realizing the way we can become more powerful by tapping into the minds. You see, we always hear about, well, then we're only using a little percentage of our brains. And it's probably true, and the science is telling us we can still use a lot of it. A lot of it we're going to train through memorization. And we talk about this on the website. We talk about this just memorizing names. And what are we talking about when we're memorizing? Is it names? Is it stuff? It's stuff. Numbers. Poems, songs, prayers. It's almost anything you want to do. I'm going to talk about the nobility of memorization. There was a book recently read called Moon Dancing with Einstein. And it was a very interesting story about a journalist who actually was covering the National Memorization Championships, which I never knew existed, neither did he. But once he started getting involved, he researched it for a year and joined up the next year and competed. And I won't tell you what happened, but it was quite intriguing to see that what memorization does for our brains. And we've lost this ancient art, and we've lost the art of word games. They're starting to come back somewhat with our apps and the different things on the internet. But the point is, we've got to invest in ourselves. We've got to invest in our brains. And once we do that, we can live an inspired life so we can inspire others. How does your future look? Well, I'm going to ask you that because your first homework assignment is coming up right now. So here's the thing. Nobody likes homework, but we're not calling it homework from here on out. We're calling it the challenge. And the challenge this week is want you to actually write down in a few words, less than 50, what does purpose mean to you? And it's actually a two-part question. Not just what purpose means to you, but define your life's purpose. It's going to require a little thinking. It's going to require a little quiet time. And we'll talk about what quiet time is over this next week. But I'm going to give you a quick, some of the upcoming lessons, personal mastery is coming up. The eight magic words, models of leadership, principle of want. Those are just a few coming through. So I'm going to leave you with a quick poem. Always got to throw a poem in. And it's not even a poem. It's kind of a statement. It's not a mission statement. It's just something that happens and words just pop into my head. But here it is. Today is a glorious day. I'll live it with excellence. Boundless enthusiasm. Limitless integrity. True to my visions. And I'll do this with a heart full of love. I'm staying true to my actual predictions. And there we have a 30-minute call. I hope you get something out of it. Hope you can dial back in. I'm going to know you're on the call when I get your homework. Mm-hmm. And if you saw that last email, I need the homework by Tuesday midnight. Capiche? This concludes our number one call. Thank you, everybody.
Thank you.